Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. It was Super Tuesday this past week, State of the Union this past week, one of the most important weeks on the political calendar of 2024. We're going to talk about all of that with Scott Parkinson. Scott, good to have you here.
Thank you, Loman.
It now is certain that we are going to have a general election rematch between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, with Nikki Haley dropping out. Want to give us your analysis of the Super Tuesday vote?
Well, it's certain as long as the Democratic National Committee doesn't get rid of him at the convention, but it does look like we're headed for a big rematch of the 2020 election between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. This week, Nikki Haley decided to end her presidential campaign on Wednesday after suffering a pretty massive landslide defeat on the Super Tuesday elections. She did win, I think, in Vermont, but if you're a Vermont Republican, you're probably just to the right of somebody like Bernie Sanders. And really what you saw here was President Trump flexing his muscle all across those Super Tuesday states, including in my Commonwealth of Virginia, where he finished with over 66% of the vote. Some people will say, oh, there's still like a large number of Republicans that aren't getting on board with Donald Trump. And what I would tell those folks is I was out there campaigning on Tuesday night, and there was a woman that came by, and we start talking to her, and she says, I'm quoting her, I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I just voted for Nikki Haley. And the point is that in a lot of these states, you've got what are known as open primaries, where it's not just limited to registered Republicans that can show up and vote in the primary season. You can be an independent, you can be a Democrat, you just have to be a registered voter, and that's how Virginia handles our elections. So I think that when you see Nikki Haley putting up 33%, when you see her putting up sizable numbers in her home state of South Carolina, the exit polling was clear that Democrats were voting in the Republican primary rather than just keeping this to a party system where we select our nominee as Republicans. What are the ramifications here of Super Tuesday? Listen, Donald Trump is as strong as he's been since he declared his intent to seek the nomination. I think that we are finally at the point where we are unifying all the Republicans of all the different tribes. This week, we even saw two big endorsements for Donald Trump, despite Nikki Haley not endorsing yet. But we did see Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, and we also saw Governor Glenn Youngkin from Virginia come out in support of Donald Trump and say it's time to unite the party. So I think that's a positive development. I hope that we can all have the same common opponent and Joe Biden, and really turn the page on Bidenomics and this illegal alien crisis that's caused by the Biden open borders.
Isn't all this really fairly normal here, Scott, for those of us who have been involved in elections for, well, decades now, that you have primaries, you have candidates compete for their party nominations? Obviously, nobody gets 100% or even 90% in a primary process, but then you have a coming together after the primary election and over the summer. So what's occurring in the Republican Party? Isn't this just normal for campaigns?
It's pretty normal. I think the anomaly here is that Donald Trump is a former president, and as he has this incredibly strong base of support among America First and MAGA, that gave him a sizable advantage in what was termed as an open primary. But he was always the front runner, even before he announced. And as he moved through the primary season, his support has solidified, and I think that that's what's common here, is that we did have opponents that trickled out. Many didn't even make it to Iowa. And ultimately, Trump is in a very, very strong position, winning all the swing states, including Pennsylvania right now. I think if the election was today, Donald Trump would finish above 320 electoral votes.
Also this past week, President Joe Biden got to deliver his State of the Union address until the Democrat National Convention, arguably the biggest platform he's going to have. With his approval numbers, his job approval numbers so low and even lower among the key issues, immigration, the economy, et cetera, is it even possible now for Biden to do a reset for the general election?
Another great question. When I look at Joe Biden and the State of the Union, the Biden White House was proclaiming all this energy from Joe Biden and how he was going to be talking about taxing the rich and how he was going to be talking about reproductive rights for women and trying to continue the IVF messaging that they've got. Well, the reality is that the Democratic talking points are incredibly stale. And what they're not doing is addressing the key issues that matter to the American people. This is why independents are leaving Joe Biden in large numbers. And I think that people are incredibly concerned about the cost of living. And taxing the rich is not a solution for decreasing the cost of energy and decreasing the cost of food, where it's $6 for a bag of potato chips. I think that the Biden administration is trying to run a campaign based off poll testing, but we know that there's all the push polls that you can try to manufacture is not going to change the fact that they have a candidate who has lost many, many steps since he was campaigning from his basement in 2020.
Just with a minute or so we have remaining here, up on Capitol Hill, again, major activity this past week. The House and Senate are both trying to get to a federal budget. We're still, again, on a continuing resolution. A little bit of movement on that this week in the House?
Yeah, the House passed their minibus. It was six of the 12 subcommittees and appropriations. Listen, this was a big swamp deal, in my opinion. Club for Growth came out opposed to that. And we also need to make sure that as we oppose these appropriation battles, that we're prepared for the next fight, which will ultimately happen after September. And what I would predict, and you know, we can mark the calendar today here in early March, but what they're going to do is another continuing resolution in September that puts us in the lame duck and tries to clear the deck for Donald Trump and his presidency.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, give us a little bit of background on the club.
Well, Club for Growth is a membership organization based out of Washington, D.C. We also have a political action committee called Club for Growth PAC, where we make endorsements of candidates like Brandon Gill and Barry Moore and others that did well on Super Tuesday elections. Check out clubforgrowth.org to see what we're up to. And join, become a member for free.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, we'll look forward to talking with you next week. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.